Halloween during a pandemic? What are we going to do? We'll figure something out on this episode of Pop Life.
Digital content on WAER is made possible thanks to California Closets, creating functional home offices for those working and learning remotely, offering in-home and virtual consultations. Learn more at californiaclosets.com.
Welcome to Pop Life. I'm Joe Lee. Halloween is upon us, and what is normally a time for costumes and parties and trick-or-treating has many of us wondering if it's worth the risk, considering that we're in the middle of a global pandemic. So what are we going to do with ourselves? To help me explore some options for occupying our time on Halloween is my favorite spooky professor, Kendall R. Phillips, professor of communications and rhetorical studies at Syracuse University's College of Visual and Performing Arts and author of several books, including Projected Fears, Horror Films, and American Culture. Kendall R. Phillips, where the R stands for righteous in my horrification. What's up, dude?
I am feeling very righteous because I'm wearing my mask and I wash my hands, so I'm very good. Not much, just getting ready for spooky season in what is the most terrifying global situation in my lifetime. So, kind
of odd. As someone who is who teaches the horror genre, writes about the horror genre, is this time of year a time when you're in demand to be a guest or an expert on something?
It is the weird moment when I look out and there's suddenly people in my backyard, and I think, what are you all doing here? Why are you all playing with my stuff? And then, of course, November 1st, everybody disappears, and I get to go back and clean up my, you know, tombs and crypts and skeletons and stuff, and then go back to normal life. But, yeah, it's a fun season, and it's nice to remind everybody that these films, books, TV shows are out there. They're out there all the time, and it's always time for a good scare.
Yeah. So, you know, I know some folks are going to be concerned. I know there will be people out there, probably knuckleheads like our producer Kevin Kloss, walking his kids around the neighborhood, knocking on COVID doors, getting COVID candy. But I'm sure there will be a number of us who are just gonna shutter in, right? And we need some things to do. We're not going to be out trick-or-treating or going to adult Halloween parties, not if you have good common sense. So I thought it would be fun to get with you to talk about some content that we might be able to entertain ourselves with. It could be either adult movies or not adult. I mean, by like,
hello, hey, Joe. Wow.
I mean, like our rated. It could be movies for kids, books, whatever. Let's talk about some things that we might find fun to do. Some things that I think we could revisit, and some things that we can discover for the first time. You gave me a list of very interesting possibilities, starting with a documentary called Horror Noir. Tell us a little bit about that.
So Horror Noir is a phenomenal documentary produced by Shudder, which, you know, if you're looking for a little streaming horror, Shudder is a streaming service. You can get it through Amazon. You can subscribe directly. It is a great it's a great service. It has lots of really cool, obscure horror films, lots of, like, traditional films, and some original programming like this. So Horror Noir is a history of black horror. It's about black people's depiction in horror films. It's based on an amazing scholarly book by Professor Robin Means Coleman, and it gives you a sense of what it's been like for African Americans and black folks to be depicted, to be part of the horror genre.
Black people play a particular role in horror films.
First, we weren't in it. We were played by white people.
Yeah.
We went from maids to pimps and hoes.
If there was somebody black, they would be the first to die.
Black films hold a mirror up to society, but at the same time give an audience an escape.
It was a very interesting documentary. I watched the trailer for it. Obviously, I had to pull the clip. But there's some really cool people that are in there, including Jordan Peele and others, talking about things that I'm very familiar with. in my coming up in my community, the running joke in horror movies was the black folk are always the first ones to die.
Absolutely, and be token characters and be the sacrificial friend who's going to take on Jason so the young teenage white girl and her boyfriend can get away. What's wonderful about this documentary is not only that you get some great academics and critics, and certainly Professor Coleman is learned and brilliant, but you also get a chance to hear a lot of the actors who are involved, so folks from Candyman and the Nightmare on Elm Street series and Friday the 13th and The Craft, and you get to see a lot of clips, and I actually really like clip documentaries because they give you kind of the best, it's like popcorn, you get the best little bits without having to watch the whole movie. So if you want something that's entertaining, engaging, and provocative, especially now when we're really thinking a lot more critically about race in popular film, this is a great documentary to find and screen.
Yeah, one of the things I think I'm going to enjoy are the clips and the conversation around some great movies. One of the movies I saw in the clip, and I think you and I may have talked about this movie in my in the episode where we revealed my fear of vampires, I guess the first black horror movie that starred black folk that I ever saw was at a drive-in, and it was Blackula.
Oh, a great film! Yeah,
and so it looks like this will get into some of the history of black folks in horror and filmmakers, as well as stars. So looking forward to checking that one out. We talk about having something that the whole family might be able to enjoy. You got a couple of things on the list. Gremlins, one that I think most folks know and love and could certainly revisit. The other one I'm going to challenge you on, because Poltergeist I found a little scary. You don't think that's too scary for kids?
Okay, I mean, kids are arranged, so, you know, Kevin's four-year-old probably shouldn't watch Poltergeist. I'll agree with you there. But if you have, and again, this is one issue with horror. I think if you've got little kids who are just starting to kind of be interested in, you know, spooky gothic stuff, you know, you've got your Scooby-Doos, you've got, like, things like Nightmare Before Christmas, you've got a wonderful animated film, Monster House. But as kids are getting older, they kind of want to get out of the child frame, and they want to kind of play with the edge. I think Gremlins kind of plays with that edge. There's another great old 80s film called Monster Squad that starts to play with that edge. I feel like Poltergeist is for that upper tween teen who's kind of ready to get shocked without getting the full-on chainsaw evisceration moment, right? So I feel like it's the kind of top of the stairs, maybe not, again, for the 5- and 6-year-old who cries all night.
Right, right. They can get a little scare, but without the gore and blood.
And I think the other thing I'll say about Poltergeist, which I've come to appreciate more as I've gotten older, it was directed by Tobe Hooper, who directed Texas Chainsaw. So you get some pretty, you know, shocking, like, scary stuff. But it's also produced by Steven Spielberg, and I think you see Spielberg's kind of spirit mm-hmm. with lighter moments, some funny bits, some happy endings. And so that's why I think it's maybe that balance, a gateway drug, if you will, into kind of darker, harder versions of horror.
Right. There's one on here that looks really interesting that I haven't seen, and it speaks to where we are in the moment. And that is because of COVID-19 lockdown, shutdown, many of us are turning to other ways to interface in our work lives and the way that we interact with family who are not in town. And that's through video conferencing, video chatting. And you have a movie on the list called Host, and it's a film about a haunted Zoom call.
And don't we all feel like we've been on one of these, right? I mean, so, yeah, absolutely. This is, it's kind of part of a subgenre that's been growing of the kind of internet horror. So you had a film called Unfriended. You had a film called Searching. This is one of the first films that I've seen that was filmed during the pandemic using Zoom. So these actors were not together. They were all social distance. It is relatively short. It's only about an hour. But, boy, it packs the punch, and it really does make you a little creeped out when you click on that unmute button.
Have you ever done anything like this before?
I've never done this over Zoom. Obviously, we're not physically together, but there's no reason why Spirit can't communicate over the internet.
Nothing's gonna happen.
Visualize us sitting in a circle. Spirit, we invite you to use us to pass on any communication. Is there anyone there? Please come forth.
Of course, it was something that went bump in the night. That's what it was. And what we have is kind of a seance trying to talk to the spirits beyond through modern technology. It's interesting concept.
It's friends saying, oh, let's do this funny thing. It'll be funny. And it kind of goes horribly wrong, which I feel like all of us have had that Zoom call where we felt like this is all going horribly wrong. So I think it's brilliant. It's really, again, tight, well-paced, good acting. Fits the technology. So if you're feeling like your life is horrible being stuck in and being on Zoom calls, at least you're not in this film, which makes it even worse.
Yeah, it's taking the supernatural genre and putting it in a really, really modern context.
Absolutely.
So another one you have on your list is one I've seen and really enjoyed. It's a British zombie film, but unlike most zombie films you see where someone turns into a zombie and is a zombie. And it's called The Girl with All the Gifts. And very interesting, well-acted movie.
Yeah, I got to say, I was very disappointed that this film did not get bigger, because I saw it in the UK around the time it came out in 2016 and thought, oh, this is so smart, it's well-acted, it spins zombies in a different way, and it kind of just didn't get an audience. And it's one of those films I feel like for the last 4 years I've been championing and saying, look, get out there, find this film. It's on Netflix now. Glenn Close is in it. It's got an amazing young actor named Sania Nunua, who's, I think this is her debut or one of her first films. Super smart, super engaging, really great new spin on the zombie genre. So if you're kind of into zombies but getting tired of all the blood and running, et cetera, this might be the film to check out.
And it's a movie that combines sort of that zombie genre with the runaway virus genre. It is a dystopian future where a virus has infected people, mostly children, I believe. And they are affected in that when they smell a human or the saliva of a human, they're normal kids. This kid is just as sweet as can be, but when they get that smell, there's this insatiable hunger that takes over, and they want to munch on you.
Yeah, which I think is normal. I think that's what happens with most children, I think.
Yeah.
it's actually really smart. And I would say there's a novel of it that came out a few years before by an author named M.R. Carey that's very, very smart, same title. And what's great about it is the cool spin, as you point out, is it's actually a fungus.
Yeah.
And there are actually funguses that infect, like ants, and kind of brain control them.
Yes.
So that they kind of do the thing the fungus needs them to do. And this idea is that this fungus starts to infect people. A lot of people just become sort of rambling zombie funguses. But there is this group of kids who are kind of able to stay human as long as they don't smell human flesh.
Right.
And that becomes really provocative. Because, again, I think we're always, children in horror are usually things we protect. But every once in a while, you've got children in horror that are actually the horrible thing. So it
right.
really balances that line. It's a really smart film.
So we'll turn to a couple of things that I plan on watching during Halloween or over the weekend. Now, you know me. I'm a nerd.
Yes, you are.
I like science fiction, so I'm going to blend my genres. I like, if I'm going to do horror, I like science fiction horror.
Perfect.
The first is Event Horizon, which came out back in 1997, a science fiction horror film directed by Wes Anderson and written by Philip Eisner. It stars Lawrence Fishburne, Sam Neill, Kathleen Quinlan, and it's set in 2047, follows a crew of astronauts sent on a rescue mission after a missing spaceship, the Event Horizon, spontaneously appears in orbit around Neptune. And that sounds fun, right? If you are in the future and you are a scientist and space explorer, having a ship pop up around Neptune seems pretty cool, but sounds like a nice adventure, but things go wrong.
After 7 years in deep space.
There were 18 people on board this ship when it disappeared. I want them all accounted for.
Opening outer door.
It came back. Abandoned.
Any crew?
Negative. This place is a tomb.
But it didn't come back alone.
Captain Miller! I've got some problems here!
this ship has been beyond the boundaries of our universe. Who knows where it's been and what it's brought back with it.
Did you hear that? What is it?
Yeah, so this is actually a movie that still creeps me out whenever I watch it. So the situation is the Event Horizon was a test bed for an experimental engine that opened a rift in the space-time continuum, goes someplace we don't know, comes back with something we don't understand, and affects the crew psychologically. It gets really weird and scary for me. Have you seen this movie?
I have, and this is another one of those films I think a lot of folks now say, why wasn't this bigger? Like, this was so well made, great acting, really smart. I do feel like we should say to folks who maybe haven't run across it, this is not Star Trek, and this is a pretty bloody film.
So it gets gory.
This is not for your six-year-old, right?
No, it definitely gets gory. And it's like taking the classic haunted house movie and putting it in outer space. Really, it's a haunted spaceship.
Absolutely. Super gothic, super smart. And again, it's one of those great blurring, a little bit like Alien. I'll give you one other quick suggestion for a sort of horror / science fiction that maybe people haven't run across. There's a great film from a few years back called Europa Report.
Yep.
And that's another one that I think kind of captures that idea of really being out in space, the adventure of it, but then what happens when things start to go really wrong. So some great, great films in that genre.
Exactly. The other I like to watch is one that just came out a couple of years ago in 2018, a film that I expected to do better than it did, and that's Annihilation. It's a science fiction horror film written and directed by Alex Garland, based on the 2014 novel of the same name by Jeff Vandermeer. And it stars Natalie Portman, one of my favorite actresses, Jennifer Jason Leigh, and Tessa Thompson. And the story follows a group of explorers. Here we go with explorers again, who enter the Shimmer, which is a mysterious quarantine zone of mutating plants and animals caused by an alien space presence. And what we find is that the aliens are sort of terraforming, I should say, Earth. And, of course, an expedition to find out what happened to the previous scientists, including Natalie Portman's character's husband, goes wrong.
Check this out.
It's like they're stuck in a continuous mutation.
Anything interesting in there?
No.
Sharks have teeth like that.
It's not possible.
You can't crossbreed different species. What is it?
The soldiers on the last expedition.
They went crazy. Or something in here killed them.
Something's come through the fence.
Through the fence? We have to go back.
I can't go back.
We can camp here tonight.
So in this movie, there is this, first of all, as a science fiction fan, terraforming the Earth is one of my favorite storylines in science fiction. But within the Shimmer, these aliens are creating these hybrid creatures. Like, there's an alligator with shark teeth and all kinds of manipulation of DNA and putting these creatures together. It gets pretty exhilarating dealing with these animals. Gets pretty frightening at times, and I thought pretty well acted. Did you enjoy this movie?
I did. I think it's a great cast. I also expected it to do well, and then after I saw it, I thought maybe it's a little weirder than some mainstream audiences are going to go for. But I actually think it's interesting if one wanted to do a double feature. This film, Annihilation, and The Girl with All the Gifts, mm-hmm. would be interesting things to think about life and what we mean by life when we say life and what we expect from life when we talk about, being alive. Because I think both films kind of play with that idea of life and humanity and what its basis is. Really thoughtful, provocative films, great acting in both.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And in fact, I don't think it made the large screen. I think Paramount, I think that's who produced it or distributed it, sold it to Netflix. So, and I think that's why, in terms of box office, it didn't do as well as people expected. But I think had I seen that on the large screen, I would have enjoyed it even more.
visually spectacular,
yeah.
Really stunning effects, and again, great cast, really believable. I'll tell you one quick suggestion, because I like to add like weirder films to films like this suggestion. There's a film back from 2016 that has a not quite the same but kind of parallel story. It's called Midnight Special. It was directed by Jeff Nichols and starred Michael Shannon and Adam Driver. And it's a little also about realities and worlds kind of shifting across each other, and it features a little boy. Again, I'd recommend people check that out. That would also be a good double feature with Annihilation.
Very cool. Very cool. Any other things you want to mention before I let you go? Any books or games or television shows? Like if folks decide they want to binge, you know, especially with the kids, I would say if you haven't watched Stranger Things as a family, that could be a good one to binge on throughout the day and evening.
Absolutely. I think with a kid, Stranger Things is perfect. It's got enough scares and enough light, and it's kind of like an 80s kids movie. So if you're of our generation, mm-hmm. it feels familiar. I would say this has been out a couple of years, but worth checking if you haven't seen it. If a little more adult, a series on Netflix called The Haunting of Hill House.
Mm-hmm.
There is a kind of second version or series, not the same characters, called The Haunting of Bly Manor. That's a kind of different haunting story. I'll be honest, I haven't had a chance to watch. It's on my queue, just kind of waiting for me to get a minute to sit down and watch it. But Haunting of Hill House was a very effective kind of ghost story, multi-family generation, a great drama, very bingeable.
Yeah, I've been reading that Bly Manor is more tame. So less gory, actually.
Yeah.
A calmer film to watch if you are a scaredy cat.
Well, that'll be perfect for you, Joe.
Kendall R. Phillips, hey, man, thanks for giving us all these suggestions. We're going to have fun on Halloween despite the COVID-19 pandemic, and hope that folks out there listening will take some of your suggestions to heart and check some things out. That's going to do it for another episode of Pop Life. Pop Life is a product of WAER, Syracuse Public Media. Subscribe to the show on Spotify or Apple Podcast or wherever you get your content, and be sure to rate the show while you're there. Pop Life producer is Kevin Kloss. I'm Joe Lee. Thanks for spooking out with us.